The Night Sky for June 2007 is part of the Jodcast. For the full show, go to www.jodcast.net.
Well, the night sky in June, and I suppose one could say it's not really the best month because there isn't all that much night. And in fact, from the northern part of the United Kingdom, it never gets truly dark. So perhaps it's not the very best time for looking for very, very faint objects, which is a bit of a pity because high in the south, around midnight, is the constellation of Virgo. And between Virgo and the tail of Leo the Lion, which is setting towards the west, is the region of the sky called the realm of the galaxies. It's where we're looking towards the heart of our local supercluster of galaxies. And we're just a small little group of galaxies right on the outside of this giant supercluster. And that's the direction in which the centre lies. So there we see many, many galaxies, and lots of them are in the Messier catalogue. Perhaps the brightest is M87. So as I've said, Leo is setting down to the west. Virgo is a little bit in the southwest. And we're now coming up to the constellations Libra, Ophiuchus, and below them Scorpius and Sagittarius. Sadly, from northern England, where I live, we don't really see them at all well. The red star Antares in Scorpius is a very bright star in principle, but it rarely shows up very well from here. Good reason to have a trip sometime in the summer to southern France with some really dark skies. You can see that part of the sky so much better. The star fields around Scorpius and Sagittarius, which is lying towards the centre of our galaxy, are some of the richest and most beautiful in the heavens. And I would suggest, if you possibly can, getting as far south in Europe as you can and looking up with a pair of binoculars. It can be a very rewarding experience. High above, we have, in fact, the constellation of Hercules. And in that lies what is called a globular cluster. It's called M13. It's a group of a million or so stars in a tight ball, really, and looks very nice in a small telescope. These are very, very old stars, and these globular clusters date from the formation of our galaxy. Now, rising in the southeast, we have a beautiful region of the sky, perhaps second only to the region around Orion and Taurus. And it comprises Cygnus the Swan, Lyra the Lyre, and Aquila the Eagle. The three bright stars in those constellations, which are Deneb in Cygnus, Vega in Lyra, and Altair in Aquila, make up what I believe Patrick Moore called the Summer Triangle. It's very easy to spot. One nice little thing to try, if you have a pair of binoculars, is to start at the lowest of those stars, which is Altair, and move about one third of the way up towards Vega. And you should be able to pick out, against a fairly dark patch of sky, it's called the Cygnus Rift, a lot of dust there, a little group of stars, which is actually nominally called Brocky's Cluster, but everyone calls it the coat hanger because it looks like an upside-down coat hanger. And it's actually very sweet to find. So have a try for that. That obviously gets better later in the year when it's darker, but you should be able to find it. And obviously high overhead we have Ursa Major, the Great Bear. And the part of that that we all observe most easily is the plough. The Americans call it the Big Dipper. And again, with binoculars, if you look at the middle star of the handle of the plough, or of the ladle, the Big Dipper, you can actually see it's a double star system called Alcor and Mizar. And with binoculars, you'll see one of those becomes a rather sweet little double star, a very pretty system to look at with a small telescope. So that's just to have a look at the stars that we see this month. What about the planets? Well, it's actually not bad for planets. As the month begins, Venus is still very high in the sky at sunset. You can't fail to miss it. And we've been having some very nice conjunctions of Venus and the Moon. Lots of people have been seeing these and writing in about them. And there's going to be another one of those around the 18th of June. Again, we'll come back to that when I talk about Venus in a bit more detail. It's gradually, as June continues, going to be falling back a little bit towards the horizon at sunset, but we've been able to see it beautifully for the last few weeks. On June the 9th, Venus reaches its greatest elongation. That's the angle between Venus and the Sun at about 45.4 degrees is at its maximum. And that's when we ought to see sort of a half phase, just like we see the Moon at first quarter. But in fact, most people, when they observe on that night or that particular time, actually observe a rather different phase. And they seem to think that you get half phase just a few days earlier. It's called dichotomy. And the phenomenon is called the Schrotter effect. So if you do have a small telescope, it's actually worth having a look at Venus around that time to see whether you observe this effect or not. And you obviously need a small telescope. And because it's relatively low down, the atmosphere upsets the image somewhat. And if you use a colour filter just to get a particular band of colours rather than the whole of the spectrum, you'll have a much cleaner image. So Venus is still a very nice planet to observe. Saturn is setting down towards the west. It will still be seen just after sunset for the first couple of weeks of June, but it's really past its best. But on the other hand, Jupiter is coming up to its best this month. And that's because on the 5th and 6th of June, Jupiter is at what is called opposition. It's when it's opposite the Sun from the Earth. And the three, the Sun and Earth and Jupiter, lie in a straight line. So in fact, Jupiter is nearest to us, so its angular size will be greatest, and hence with a small telescope we should see the most detail. Sadly, at the moment, Jupiter lies in the constellation of Ophiuchus, part of which dips right down between Scorpius and Sagittarius. I don't really know why they laid the constellations out like that. And that's almost at the most southerly point of the ecliptic. Now, the ecliptic's the path of the Sun across the sky, and that part is where the Sun is in midwinter. But because all the planets lie in a plane, roughly speaking, that's where we tend to see the planets. So I'm afraid Jupiter does not rise very high in the sky. So our views of it from our northerly latitudes will not really be very good. Again, the atmosphere has quite an effect, splitting up the light into different colours. It acts like a prism, so it blurs the image. So it's a bit of a pity. So it's a good reason for perhaps having a trip down to South Africa or something like that to have a look when Jupiter's high in the sky. But it is at its best this month. So let's come to Mercury. Mercury is visible in the western sky just after sunset. And in fact, on June the 2nd, it's furthest in angle from the Sun. It's about 23.4 degrees away. So you can see it after sunset, basically between where the Sun has set and where you'll see the very bright planet Venus. The best thing to do is to find a location with a good low western horizon, be there before sunset so you actually can see where the Sun sets, and then as it gets darker, use binoculars to sweep the sky up and to the left of where the Sun has set. And that's when you should fairly easily pick up Mercury. Follow the line from that point up to the planet Venus, which should be shining really quite easily to see, and you should find it. One way of distinguishing it from any bright stars in the region is that planets don't tend to twinkle as much. So if it looks steady, whereas other objects in the sky nearby look as though they're twinkling, as they often do near the horizon, then you'll know you've got Mercury. So you've still got a week or so, perhaps, to have a look for it before it disappears, getting too close to the Sun. I've mentioned Saturn. Saturn is now setting in the west soon after sunset, so it's past its best. We also have, of course, Mars. Now, Mars is actually visible just before sunrise, but it's very low in the southeast, and it's really not worth looking at until later this year. It is going to come to opposition. It'll be closest to us in December this year, and although it's not going to be such a close opposition as some of the ones we've had recently, that's the sort of time when I'll be telling you what to look out for. So it's there, but not at its best at the moment. Finally, I don't often say much about the moon. The moon gets overlooked. A lot of people object to it being there because it, of course, means it's harder to see faint objects. But there's a lot of fun in actually looking at the moon itself. I've been particularly interested in what the moon is doing this week, and I can tell you it's going to be at new moon on June the 15th. And that's because we're having a festival here around the weekend of the 16th, 17th. And we hope to recreate one of the things that the Lovell telescope did in its very early days, which was in fact sending a signal to the moon and back. So obviously the moon has to be in the sky. We're going to be sending some poems written by young people around the United Kingdom. Now, in fact, we can't transmit from Jodrell, so we're going to transmit from a distant location and receive those signals back with the Lovell telescope. We'll be doing that in the afternoon, and the moon will be quite high up to the southeast. So it's a good time. You won't see the moon yourself then, of course, in the daylight, but it's very good for us to try some moon bounce. So when the moon is there, binoculars will show you quite a number of the craters and the Maria and the Highlands, but it's a good reason to get yourself a small telescope. They're not very expensive, to have a look at some of the detail and perhaps have a look to see where the Apollo astronauts landed such a long time ago. Good hunting.